jaya Gauranita
jaya Gauranita 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 jaya Gauranita
jaya jaya Prabhupada 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 jaya jaya Prabhupada
jaya jaya Prabhupada 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 jaya jaya Prabhupada
Nitai Gaura Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gaura Hari Bol
Nitai Gaura Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gaura Hari Bol
Jayam Vishnu Paramahansa Paridhatita Acharya Ashoka Sati Swami Vesa Pachara Aradhamma Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki
Jai
Shri Shri Radha Lanta Vishwar Ki
Jai
Shri Shri Gaurnatai Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhatra Amani Ki Jai Grantha Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Vidhai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Naruttamam
Naram Chaiva Naruttamam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tato Jayamudiraye
Tato Jayamudiraye
Nashta Prayeshma Bhadreshu
Nashta Prayeshma Bhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavatyuttama Shloke
Bhagavatyuttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text 36
Anugrahaya
Anugrahaya
Bhaktanam Manusham
Manusham
Deham
Deham
Askitah
Askitah
Bhajate
Bhajate
Tadrishi
Tadrishi
Kriya
Kriya
Yaha
Shrutva
Shrutva Tatparah
Tatparah
Bhave
Bhave
Anugrahaya Bhaktanam
Anugrahaya Bhaktanam
Manusham Deham Asthitah
Manusham Deham Asthitah
Bhajate Tadrishi Kriya
Bhajate Tadrishi Kriya
Yah Shrutva Tatparo Bhave
Yah Shrutva Tatparo Bhave
Anugrahaya Bhaktana
Anugrahaya Bhaktana
Manusham Deham Asthitah
Manusham Deham Asthitah
Bhajate Tadrishi Kriya
Bhajate Tadrishi Kriya
Yah Shrutva Tatparo Bhave
Yah Shrutva Tatparo Bhave
Anugrahaya अनुग्रहाय
भक्तानाम
स्टार्ट चैंटिंग आफ्टर कंप्लीटली फिनिश ओके
अनुग्रहाय भक्तानाम देहमास्थितः भजते तादृशी क्रीडा यः श्रुत्वा तत्परो भवेत् Purport.
Srila Jiva Goswami explains in this connection that when Lord Krishna descends to this world in his original two-handed form, out of kindness he manifests that form in a way his devotees conditioned in human society can perceive and understand. Thus, here it is stated, Manusham Deham Asthitaha. He assumes a human-like body. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur glorifies the Lord's conjugal pastimes, stating that these romantic affairs have an inconceivable spiritual potency to attract the polluted heart of conditioned souls. It is an undeniable fact that any pure or simple-hearted person who hears narrations of the loving affairs of Krishna will be attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord and gradually become his devotee. Kindly repeat the translation. When the Lord assumes a human-like body,
when the Lord assumes a human-like body,
to show mercy
to his devotees,
he engages in such pastimes,
as will attract
those who hear about them
to become dedicated to him.
Om Jnana Timiram Nasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Namo Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakta Deshitarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This is a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam because it explains to us the real reason why Lord Krishna descends into this world. In the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Lord Krishna does speak about the reasons for his advent into this world. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chidushritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuga yuga. He says that he descends for three reasons. One is paritranaya sadhunam, to protect the sadhus or his devotees. Second, vinashaya chidushritam, also to destroy the miscreants, the troublemakers. And thirdly, dharma sansthapanarthaya, to establish the principles of dharma. Sambhavami yuga yuga. Sambhavami means I appear. Yuga yuga, in every age. So what does it really mean to protect the devotees? Among the three reasons that Lord Krishna gives for his advent, the first one, protecting the devotees, is most important. Although
the other two are also important. But relatively speaking, Krishna descends more to protect his devotees than to destroy the miscreants. For example, he descended more to save Prahlad than he did to destroy Hiranyakashipu. That is because the devotees are very dear to him. The devotees have surrendered their lives and their consciousness, their mind, their words, their body to him. So out of a reciprocation of love, the Lord personally descends to protect his devotees. The kind of physical protection that Prahlad got may not necessarily be the only way that Krishna protects his devotees. In any case, our bodies are going to be destroyed one day or the other. So the real purport of protection of the devotees is not simply physical protection. The real purport is mentioned here in this verse. The real purport is that Lord Krishna descends here in order to attract his devotees back to his home, the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. He comes here to take his devotees back. Come with me. Don't rot here in this material world, in the cycle of birth and death, in forgetfulness of me. Being forgetful of me, you have spent many, many lifetimes here in this material world. Shri Shri Radha Nandinishpat ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. He says, you have spent many lifetimes in forgetfulness of me. Now you must come back to me and regain your original life of eternity, full knowledge and bliss. So how does Lord Krishna do that? How does Lord Krishna entice or induce or motivate people to come back to him? And that's mentioned here. Bhajate tadrishi krida. Krida means sport or his pastime, his activities. So Lord Krishna manifests such activities in this world which are called lila or pastimes, which are extremely wonderful, extremely attractive. And with such pastimes, he attracts the hearts of everybody. Yaha shutva tat paro bhavet. So when somebody hears about these pastimes, of course from the right source, in the right manner, then automatically one becomes induced to become dedicated to him, surrendered to him. Tat paro bhavet. One becomes his devotee, in short. Therefore, the benefit of hearing about Lord Krishna's pastimes is that one becomes his devotee. And when one becomes his devotee, that is, one becomes devoted to him. To become devoted to him means that one develops love for him. Then automatically one becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Bhaktya pananyaya shakya aham evam vidhaujana jyatum drashtum chitakvena praveshtum cha parantama. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that only by love or devotion can you understand me as I am, O Arjuna. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to understand me, you can do so only by love. And that love has to be undivided, unmotivated, exclusively offered love, not love shared with everyone else. One-pointed, unalloyed love. Ananyaya, bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya. So this is called ananya bhakti. One pointed bhakti. Ananya means others. Ananya means not being diverted to others, just focused exclusively on Krishna. So Krishna says, Bhaktya Pananya Shakya Aham Evam Vithaha. O Arjuna, you can know me as I am only by such undivided love. Yatum, now that you know me, Drashtum, then you will be eligible to see me. Chitattvena, in truth, you will know me, you will be eligible to see me face to face. Praveshtum cha parantapa. And then you will be eligible to enter into my kingdom, the Vaikuntha world, Goloka Vrindavan. Then we can re-enter into Lord Krishna's pastimes. We can go to the spiritual world to be eternally, always with Krishna, never to take birth in this world of birth, death, old age and disease, this world of suffering. We can remain forever with Krishna and his dear devotees in the spiritual world. This is the best gift that Krishna wants to give us. And that is why he descends into this world and performs all kinds of spiritual, wonderful pastimes. And this is simply his mercy. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. The word anugraha means mercy. Anugrahaya means for the purpose of giving mercy. To whom does he want to give his mercy? Specifically, bhaktanam. To his devotees. Of course, Lord Krishna wants to benefit everybody because he is the Supreme Lord. Every soul is his part and parcel, is his child. So he wants to give mercy to everyone, but specifically he wants to give mercy to his devotees. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. And therefore he appears within the society of human beings. Manusham deham asthitaha. He assumes a human-like form. A body. Now, we should not take this to mean that Lord Krishna is impersonal, he is just some formless light or force, and therefore, just for the sake of an avatar or an incarnation, he assumes a form. It's not like that. As is clarified in the purport, and as Srila Prabhupada says again and again in all his teachings, that Krishna is ultimately a person. He is an original, transcendental, spiritual person. His body is spiritual. He has a body. But that body is not like our body. That body is a spiritual body. Satchidananda Vigraha. And it is in that self-same body that Krishna descends from the spiritual world to this material world. In fact, he brings along with him a piece of that spiritual world and manifests it within the material realm and then performs pastimes over there. And also it is further clarified that when the word manusham deham asthitaha is used, it means that he makes himself visible to ordinary human beings as well. When Lord Krishna descended to Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, and he went on later to Mathura and then Dwarka and then Kurukshetra, Hastinapur and so on, even the ordinary person on the street could see Krishna face to face. This is called his Prakat Leela or his manifest pastimes. But Lord Krishna, in his aprakat roop or his unmanifest form, aspect, is always performing these pastimes in Vrindavan. But we cannot see him with these eyes of this material body. But when we become pure devotees of the Lord, then we will be able to understand his presence in the unmanifest form. So the Lord descends like this, from time to time, into this material world, appears within the human society in His original spiritual body, performs wonderful pastimes, and those who are fortunate to be around when He physically performs these pastimes, they look at Krishna, they participate in His pastimes and go back to Godhead. But those like us, who have come many years after Krishna appeared, are not less fortunate. Why so? Even though we may not be able to see Krishna face to face, as the residents of Mathura and Dwarka and Vrindavan did, but we have the opportunity to associate with Krishna personally through the sound vibration of the narration of His pastimes. So by regularly hearing about Krishna and His pastimes in the association of devotees, we can also become staunch, faithful devotees. And then we will also become eligible to go back. We will achieve the same destination that those people did who were around at the time that Lord Krishna appeared and who actually saw Him face to face. On the transcendental platform, there is no difference between seeing with one's eyes and hearing with one's ears. Both are the same and both give equal benefit if they are done in the devoted spirit. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about Shrutekshita or Shrutekshana, that one has to hear or one has to see with one's ears. If one hears about Krishna's pastimes, then one will be actually eligible to see Him face to face. So ironically, the most important organs in our body, as far as our spiritual development is concerned, are our ears. Not so much our eyes, not so much our hands and so on, but our ears. Because simply by hearing about Krishna, we can go back to the spiritual world. So this is a secret. Yasyam vaishruyamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate punsah shoka moha bhayapaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam also mentions yasyam vaishruyamanayam, of Him, that is of Krishna, when one hears regularly, shruyamanayam, of those people who regularly hear about Krishna, paramapuruṣe, who is the Param Purush, who is the Supreme Person, bhaktir utpadyate punsaha. In such a person or in such persons, bhakti or love for the Lord develops. And when bhakti develops, then automatically shoka, moha, bhaya, apaha. All sorts of shoka. Shoka means lamentation. Moha means illusion. Bhaya means fear. So all these automatically are destroyed. They vanish within the heart. This is the benefit of simply hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada many times explains that the benefit that Arjuna received when he personally heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that very same benefit each one of us can receive 5,000 years later if we also hear the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna's message is the same. The sound vibrations are the same. So by sitting here in London, we can achieve the same destination and get the same benefit that Arjuna got 5,000 years ago in the personal physical presence of Krishna. This is the potency and the wonder of the spiritual world. So when Krishna comes here, he displays these wonderful pastimes. These pastimes are eternally going on in the spiritual world, and Krishna simply displays them here in the material world. Otherwise, these pastimes have nothing to do with the material world. They have no touch with matter. The activities of people in this world are within the material realm. But Krishna's pastimes have nothing to do with the material realm, even though they appear to do so. But that's because of our defective vision. So these pastimes of the Lord are within the realm of Yoga Maya. And actually it is explained that what is highest in the spiritual world is considered lowest over here in the material world. That is because this material world is like a reflection of the spiritual world. When you see something reflected, let's say a tree reflected on the bank of a river, then you will see the tree inverted in its reflection. That's how the reflections are. So similarly, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So what is the highest there is considered lowest here in ignorance. What is the highest there in the spiritual world? Krishna's loving pastimes with the gopis in Goloka Vrindavan are considered the topmost pastimes of the spiritual world. The highest. But out of ignorance, out of being victimized by material desires like lust, the people of this world, in ignorance, ascribe sentiments like lust to Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Although such dealings have nothing to do with lust and ordinary material feelings. So therefore we consider them condemnable. We criticize them that Krishna danced with the gopis in the middle of the night is not something moral. So the moral perspective of this world is to condemn Lord Krishna's pastimes in ignorance. But that's because we are in the state of reflection. When we come to the state of reality, of pure devotion, then we will understand these pastimes to be the highest. Actually, one has to be eligible to hear the Rasa-lila. An ordinary person cannot and should not hear the Rasa-lila unless he hears from the right person and in the right spirit. Srila Prabhupada explains that the eligibility for hearing the Lord's Rasa-lila is that one must be spiritually realized. Unless one is spiritually liberated, unless one is free from all material desires, including lust, one cannot even begin to comprehend the Lord's Rasa-lila pastimes. If we have lust in our heart, if we have desire for sex life in our heart, then we are going to see those things in Krishna's pastimes. We are going to superimpose our contaminations on Krishna's activities and think that Krishna's activities with the gopis are on that platform. Atmavan manyate jagat. There is a proverb in Sanskrit that says that whatever is in our heart, we imagine that to be in other people. So that applies for our understanding of Krishna's pastimes as well. So the very eligibility for hearing these pastimes is that one must be self-realized. At the very least, Srila Prabhupada says, one must follow regulative principles. One must have some austerity, some tapasya. One must be following some spiritual practices, and one must gain transcendental or Vedic knowledge. Then one will be able to understand or eligible to start hearing the Rasa-lila pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, one should be as eager, if not more, to hear basic philosophy like the soul and body and so on and so forth, as one would be to hear the Rasa Leela of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that one should be equally eager to hear Srishti Leela as one is eager to hear Rasa Leela. Srishti Leela means the pastimes of the Lord creating this material world. It's a very deep philosophical, difficult to understand subject. How the Lord creates this universe, it's mentioned in so much detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapters and chapters on this. So one must also be eager to hear that philosophy, not only to hear the Rasa Leela. So when one becomes qualified by philosophically understanding the tattva of Krishna, the tattva of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one can begin to understand what the Rasa Leela is. Krishna's Rasa Leela is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada cautions that one should not directly go to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading the Rasa Leela. Rather, one should begin from the beginning, from the first canto, and then get an introduction to understand who is Krishna, what is the material world, what is the spiritual world, who am I, and gradually move up, understanding the truth or tattva of Krishna, of his incarnations, of the material world. Finally, after hearing 9 cantos, we are now ready to enter into the mysteries of the 10th canto, the most exalted subject, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And among these pastimes, the pastimes of the Rasa Leela are the most exalted. So this is the qualification required. And as we go on, we are going to hear the further benefits. For one who is eligible, if he or she faithfully hears these pastimes, already in this verse it is said, Tat paro bhavet, one will become a surrendered devotee of the Lord. And as we go on in these verses in this chapter, we will hear that one will actually become freed from lust just by hearing these pastimes. So just see the wonder. By hearing about the Rasa Leela pastime from authorized sources in the proper disciplic succession, one can become free of lust. This is the phala shruti. Phala shruti means the benefit of hearing. Shruti means to hear. Phala means the benefit of fruit. So if by hearing the Lord's Rasa Leela pastimes, one becomes free from lust, how can there be any element of lust in the Rasa Leela itself? Very logical, isn't it? It's very simple to understand. Another interesting point is that many, many great sannyasis and exalted souls over the ages have worshipped these Rasa Leela pastimes. They have regularly heard them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for instance, it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that especially as the days went on in his stay in Jagannath Puri, he would like to hear about the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. He would even dream about them, and he would feel very sad when the dream was broken or interrupted. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played the role of such a strict sannyasi. He would not even look at a woman. No woman could come even close to him. So strict was he in following the principles of sannyas. And still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, day and night, would hear about the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. What does a sannyasi like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have to do with the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis if they were to be ordinary man-woman pastimes that are similar to the ones we see in this world. Would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have started hearing them day and night? Would sannyasis like Nimbarkacharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya have also similarly heard these pastimes? They were also such staunch sannyasis. Would they have bothered themselves to spend so much time and energy hearing the Rasa Leela and Krishna's pastimes of the gopis if they were mundane activities? Would Shukadeva Goswami, who was a celibate from birth and a liberated soul from birth, have spent so much time and energy narrating these Rasa Leela pastimes if they were ordinary man-woman pastimes? Narad Muni, the legendary celebrated monk, the devotee, who travels all over the universe preaching the glories of the Supreme Lord, he also came to Vrindavan because he was so eager to hear about the Lord's Rasa Leela. And in fact, Narad Muni wanted to enter into the Rasa Leela. And then he was told, "No, my dear Narad Muni, you are in a male body, you can't enter. The only male is Krishna." So Narad Muni said, "Then what can I do? I want to enter. I want to behold these most exalted pastimes of the Lord." So then Vrinda Devi, the orchestrator of the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, told him, "Then you have to become a gopi." "How can I become a gopi? I'm a man, I'm in a male body." He said, "Okay, there's a way you can do that. This is Kusum Sarovar. You take a dip in Kusum Sarovar and you'll come out as a gopi." So then Narad Muni did that. He dipped into the Kusum Sarovar and lo and behold, when he emerged, he was a gopi. And he was Naradiya Gopi. And then he entered into the pastime. And Radharani asked Krishna when she saw Krishna talking to him, "Who is this new gopi who has come?" And Krishna said, "Don't worry, this is our dear devotee Narad Muni." And then Naradiya Gopi dipped again into the Kusum Sarovar, emerged as Narad Muni once again. And then after that, Narad Muni stayed nearby, near Kusum Sarovar, which is at the foothill of Govardhan Hill. And he wrote his famous Narad Bhakti Sutra. So like this, Lord Shiva even wanted to enter one time. Lord Shiva is called Dhira, extremely sober. His senses are completely controlled. But he also wanted to enter the Lord's Rasa Leela pastimes. And again he was stopped at the gate. "No, you can't enter." "But I am Lord Shiva. You may be anybody, but you can't enter this Rasa Leela. You are in a female body, or in a male body, so you have to get a female body before you enter." So then again he was instructed by Narad Muni, by Vrinda Devi, I beg your pardon. And then he came in as a gopi. And you know the name of that gopi, right? Who was that gopi? Lord Shiva. Yes. And then Lord Shiva is now Gopeshwar Mahadev. And there is a temple right near the Rasa Leela place in Vrindavan, which where Lord Shiva is known as Gopeshwar Mahadev. Ishwara Shiva, who became a gopi. In that way, Lord Shiva could enter into the Rasa Leela pastimes. So such exalted souls are actually trying to enter into the Rasa Leela pastimes. Would they have done that if these pastimes are very, these activities, ordinary activities of this world? What to speak of Narad Muni and Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, wants to come. But she was denied access because she still had that bhav or that mentality of being queen of Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan there is no place for anybody to want to be the queen or the king. Everybody is simply servant of the servant. So Lakshmi Devi still has not gained entrance into the Rasa Leela. she is still performing penances. So therefore we can understand briefly the nature of the exalted nature of Lord Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And this verse, text 36 of chapter 33 of canto 10, is specifically in relation to these Rasalila pastimes. And the next 2-3 verses are also very nice. And especially the 39th verse, the last verse of this chapter, which gives a color shruti, is very, very significant. So this is the spirit and the mood in which we can understand the Rasalila pastimes. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes.
Thank you so much. I would like to remember again for us conditioned souls, what are the stages of entering into pastimes of Krishna? Is it correct that first we go to pastimes of Krishna in this material world, and then we go to the spiritual world, or it's individual, or each jiva?
You mean in terms of understanding or in terms of actual taking birth?
I understand it both. According to our consciousness, we take birth or we reach a place in Krishna's pastimes. So so this is how I wonder if we, let's say, if our conditioned soul becomes pure, where is the first place where which he achieves the pastimes of Krishna? This
even after he leaves this body?
Yes.
Okay. So the question is that if I am a devotee and I achieve perfection in devotion in this life, then where will be my next birth? Right? Will I go straight to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, or will I be born again somewhere here in the material world? Generally the process is that if one becomes a pure devotee, then one takes birth in Vrindavan and manifests within the material world. And one gets an opportunity to participate in Krishna's pastimes here when Krishna descends into the material world. There, one is trained up in the company of the eternal associates of Krishna who have descended with him from the spiritual world. And whatever little contamination or deficiencies may be there, or awkwardness may be there, then is removed. One becomes fully trained up. Then one goes to the spiritual world. Right? Like you go there?
I'm not ready yet.
Yes, give me that.
Hare Krishna. What is the difference between 10th canto and Krishna book which Prabhupada wrote?
So what is the difference between 10th canto and Krishna book? The Krishna book is a summary narrative of the 10th canto. You see, historically what happened is that Srila Prabhupada went to America at a very advanced age, and he was translating all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam one by one. He had already translated the first two when he reached. Then he finished the third, fourth, and he was moving on. Then he realized that he was an old man, and any day he could pass away from this world. So he was keen that the world should have access to the 10th canto in a proper way. And he feared that he may not live long enough to be able to translate the 10th canto verse by verse. So then he wrote and the 10th canto in a narrative form without the Sanskrit verses and the translations. And then he added his own comments and included the comments of the acharyas. And that's the Krishna book. But later, as it happened, he lived on till he reached, I think, the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. So he was able to do verse by verse translations and individual commentaries till he reached the 13th chapter. And after that, his disciples have taken over.
Is it okay to read Krishna book in Gita?
It's not okay if you don't. You must. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted. We should read Krishna book. Yes.
We are told nothing can be achieved or nothing moves without Krishna's directions. Even coming to the temple, unless there are directions from him, one cannot visit. So, if one even wants to reach the highest degree of spirituality, if there are no directions, how can one do it?
Okay, that's a good question. We all know the story of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna to the grinding water.
Yes.
The Damodar pastimes. And every time Mother Yashoda was trying to tie Krishna, the rope fell short by two fingers. And that was something miraculous. She tied many ropes one after the other, tried to tie. Every time it was just two fingers too short. Finally, Krishna agreed to be bound. And then Mother Yashoda could tie him up. Now the acharyas explain, what is the significance of those two fingers by which the rope fell short each time that she tried to bind Krishna? The two fingers represent two things. One is the mercy of Krishna, which means his will, his direction, anugraha, anugrahaya bhaktanam, so the mercy. And second is the effort of the devotee, the individual effort. Mother Yashoda had put in effort, so she was laboring hard to catch Krishna and to bind him, to get the ropes, to tie them up. But her effort was not enough. Only when Krishna agreed and gave his mercy, okay, now I will agree to be tied, then she was successful in tying him. But would she have been successful in tying him had she not made any effort at all? No. So mercy or the Lord's will is definitely required. Without that we cannot achieve success. At the same time, what is it that can draw the Lord's mercy upon us? It is our sincere effort. It was when Krishna saw Mother Yashoda's labor and his efforts that he gave his mercy. So similarly, the acharyas explain that in the process of bhakti, to realize the Lord, we definitely need the Lord's mercy. But the devotee must put in his or her very sincere endeavor and effort. The devotee must himself or herself also strongly desire to do that and try to do things. We have heard the proverb in English, where there is a will, there is a way. So for example, a devotee may desire to come to the temple. Many obstacles may come in the way. But if the devotee is strongly determined, they may come regardless of anything. For example, I have been coming here for several years and I am seeing you coming here day in and day out. Yes? Every day at the fixed time you are here, no matter what. Whenever I come, there's never a time when I have not seen you coming here. So why is that? Because you have that desire. So the Lord is facilitating. So because you have the desire, you also have the determination. It is not an idle desire. It is a desire that is backed by action. So you are putting that into practice. Obviously, there are many other options available to you to do at this time of the morning. But you have decided to come here. So therefore, even though there may be obstacles, and if we are determined enough, we put in sufficient hard work, then we will be successful. Krishna's mercy will come. And despite all our efforts, all reasonable and sometimes unreasonable efforts even, if we are not able to do it, then we understand the Lord doesn't want it.
So the efforts, yes, are in the hands of individuals,
yes,
to make.
Yes.
It's a good example because normally I visit the temple at 7:20 and leave 7:45.
Yes.
But I wasn't well. So my elder brother came earlier.
Yes.
And I was sitting idle at home and there was an attachment to have darshan. And my wife said, "Don't go. You are not feeling well." I said, "No, I will go." So I had the opportunity to hear you and this was very enlightening.
So where there is a will, there is a way. Yes, Jen.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. In the class, we were seeing there were two points that were mentioned. One about reading and understanding Rasleela. One has to be free from lust. And then the other point that's mentioned in the upward, and you also stressed that by hearing Rasleela, one becomes free from lust. So it seems an apparent contradiction. Could you please clarify?
Actually, the answer is that one must at least desire to be free from lust. In other words, one must desire to come to the platform of spiritual perfection, number one. And number two, one must associate with devotees and hear from devotees who are coming in the proper disciplic succession from Krishna. If one hears the description of the Rasalila or the Tattva of Krishna's pastimes from authorized sources presented in the proper manner, then such hearing will purify us of lust. But if we hear these very same pastimes from others, then it will increase our lust rather than reduce. Srila Prabhupada especially cautioned us about hearing from professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who recite the Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of livelihood, who recite Srimad Bhagavatam to get money, to earn money for themselves, or to gain some name, fame and prestige in the world. So if the speakers are tainted with these material desires and they are not presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam with the pure motive, and if the message they are giving is also not pure, then we will not be benefited. Prabhupada used to quote this verse, "Avaishnava mukho girdam utam hari kathamitam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yathapayah." The meaning of this verse is, a Vaishnava, that is one who is not a Vaishnava or a devotee, mukhod girdam, coming from his mouth, utam hari kathamitam, if one hears hari katha, Krishna katha, the nectar of Krishna's katha, which is normally speaking utam, very purifying, sarpa uchishtam yatha payaha. Sarpa means a snake, uchishtam means tasted, the remnants. Payaha means milk. So if a serpent touches, a poisonous serpent touches some milk and drinks it, then the poison will get mixed in the milk. And that milk will now become poisonous. So normally milk is very nourishing. But milk that is touched by the poisonous fangs of the serpent has a poisonous effect. So if we drink that milk, rather than being nourished, we will be poisoned. So in the same way, even though Krishna Katha is very purifying, but if one hears it from the wrong sources, then that can have an opposite effect, a poisonous effect. So if one hears it rightly, then very quickly the hearing of Krishna Katha will have a transformative effect in our heart and give rise to devotion.
Yeah? Thank you very much. In addition to that, then what if the devotee feel, okay, let me read the books of the Goswamis and then translate it and hear these pastimes because that will purify me of this lust. So they're, quote unquote, hearing in the correct time. from the correct persons, but is that prescribed for us?
Okay, so the question is that whether we should go straight to the works of the Goswamis because we should hear from the correct line. It is always wiser to first to go through Prabhupada's books and thoroughly understand them. Read all of Prabhupada's books well and understand well before we move on to the works of the Goswamis. Because Srila Prabhupada is giving us the distilled wisdom of the scriptures and also the commentaries of the Acharyas. In one place, in his books, his commentaries and his other teachings include everything. If we prematurely try to go to the works of the Goswamis, then perhaps we may not be able to understand properly. It may be a little too early to do that. So Prabhupada's books contain everything that we really need to know. And because Prabhupada himself does ask that we can read the books of the Goswamis, he encourages. But that should be done only when one is very, very thorough with the philosophy. One has actually read everything. And even then, one should avoid certain books which are extremely advanced. There are certain books by the Acharyas which are so advanced that unless one is actually very advanced oneself, one will not be able to understand those books or one will misunderstand. Say for example, Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, Prabhupada said, now we should not read this, although it's such an exalted book, it's worshipable for us. But if we were to read that, we will misunderstand. So better to go step by step, where there is progressive purification of the heart, the progressive growth of devotion in the heart, and then let things happen like that, rather than prematurely jumping over to very advanced texts, to PhD, before we have done our BA. Right? So we should go through the GCSE and then the A-levels and then the degree and then post-graduation and then the PhD. Yes?
Where is the Kusum Sarovar located?
Kusum Sarovar is located at the foothill of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill has a long perimeter of almost 21 kilometers. At a certain point of the perimeter is the Kusum Sarovar. There are many such kunds or lakes all around Govardhan. So this is one of those lakes.
Can one become a
Gopi
really by
attending? No, same question. That, no, we can't go to PhD straight. We have to go step by step. First year 10, GCSE or high school, then A-level, then BA, then MA, then Gopis and other things can come at PhD level. For now, we should just try to get over the influence of the three modes of material nature. The influence of this world is too strong, very powerful, and it is contaminating our hearts and distracting us from the path of pure devotion. So we should follow the prescribed process of chanting the holy names in a regulated way, coming to the temple, hearing discourses, participating in kirtans, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, rendering simple menial service, so that we can become humble and get rid of pride and ego. And gradually by following this process over a number of years, a lifetime of such cultivation, then we will be rewarded by Krishna eventually. All in good time. Yes? All we have to do is to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions and everything auspicious will happen in our life. Okay, now we have another auspicious activity to do, to partake of Krishna Prasadam. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So it is Pantika Sudhi to Maharaj.
be recovering.
So I'd like to thank Marge for his wonderful association. The last couple of days, I think some very wonderful classes. And blessing us all, so thank you very much, Marge. I'd like to encourage you to please come back and see fit to bestow your mercy upon all of us here in the middle of London. Helping us to achieve our GCSEs and take us to the higher levels. So please let us express our gratitude and appreciation of Marge by chanting very loudly three Hari Bol. So let us back the rest of the Marge. Please sit for the pleasure of their lordships. We have some second-hand scores from yesterday. In Rather's Boutique, we distributed 12 books for 325 restaurant books. And in Ramona's restaurant, we distributed croissants to at least 269 customers for a total of 2,551 national books. And the distribution